This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Chapter 15, verses 13 to 19. Now Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely, Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir. Formerly the name of Debir was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, "He who attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, as wife." So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as wife. Now it was so, when she came to him, that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered, "Give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Aksa had it made. She had everything going well for her. In the first place, she was a daughter of Caleb. Mighty Caleb, the brave hero warrior of Judah. She might have been too young to remember, or then she wasn't even born yet, but she knew the story. 45 years ago, Caleb was chosen as one of the 12 to go spy out the land of Canaan. Moses had brought the people under God's direction out of Egypt, out of the bondage of slavery, into the wilderness. And they were about to enter into the promised land. But God was going to send a delegate from each of the tribes into that promised land to spy it out and to bring back word. It was a test. Of those 12, 10 of them were too intimidated by the people. They said the people were too big. We're like grasshoppers. They were cowards. They didn't trust God's word. But two of them were brave. Joshua and Caleb. They weren't going to back down. They were going to trust God. But unfortunately, as often is the case in society, the majority rules. And the minority are left behind. And most of the people believe the majority. Sounds familiar. But then there were the two, and Aksa's father was one of them, Caleb. She was daughter of Caleb. She had it made. 45 years later, now, her own father was on another wonderful, heroic venture of going to capture the city of Hebron. Hebron was in the land allotted to the people of Judah. And she had it made. Not only was Caleb her father, but she was even gaining the benefit of living in the city of Hebron. for he captured it for him to live in. So she was going to live with her father in Hebron, and Hebron was in the hill country. It was a very lush city, agriculturally. It received enough rain to raise crops and to raise livestock, and it was ideal, and it was just a wonderful picture in her mind. I mean, it was going to be a great future for oxen. And then something happened. One day, Caleb announced that there was going to be another heroic feat. That the men of Judah were going to take the city of Debir. Debir is not like Hebron. Debir is in the southland, sometimes called the Negev. It's a dry climate. It's not as lush, teeming with agriculture. It's very difficult to raise crops, to raise livestock. But Oxa was going to live with Caleb in Hebron, so by all means, if you want to go, Father, to on another heroic mission, by all means, be my guest. So Caleb gathered the men of Judah together, and he makes the announcement, we're going to take Debir. But then he says this, something to the effect of this. He says, I'm 85 years old. I'm still as strong as I was back in that day when we went into the promised land. But I need to pass the torch. I want somebody else of the men of Judah to have an opportunity. Another man to step up and lead the people of Judah. Therefore, to the man who takes the city of Debir, I give Oxa, my daughter, in marriage. And Oxa's stomach drops. But it's not because of what you think. You see, in that day, arranged marriages, that kind of a thing, were not as, you know, odd as we would think. Arranged marriages occurred to help secure the future and families of the children. It was just common in that day. In fact, Oxa may have looked forward to the idea of being married to the war hero leader of Judah. But she would have to live in Debir. By the way, parents, I do not recommend auctioning off your children in favors of people. Though, if your children ever get out of hand, you can say, you better behave or I'm going to implement some Old Testament stuff here. She was going to live in the city of Debir. The city of Debir is not like Hebron. It's going to be difficult. So the gathering is together, and all of a sudden, when Caleb makes the announcement, she hears the words,
I will go.
And immediately she recognizes the voice. It's Othniel. She knew Othniel. Of course Othniel would speak up. They grew up together. Othniel was, after all, of the same bloodline as her father. Othniel was Oxa's cousin. Not an uncommon arrangement in that day. They grew up together. When they would play as children, she would want to play house. He would want to play slay the Jebusites. Of course he spoke up. One wonders if Caleb, who loves Oxa, had Othniel in mind when he gave the invitation. So Othniel rallies the men together, they cheer and holler, and they go off. And with God's blessing, they take Debir effortlessly. Caleb was with them. But the time came for Oxa to join them. So she mounts her donkey, and she heads down to Debir. As she's coming near to the city which her future husband has taken, which she will be living in, she notices on the outskirts of the city a hill. And she sees that in this hill is a source of water. And she starts to think. And she starts to ask questions. Do you want to know what question she was asking? Well, I can tell you because I'm narrating the story. Is it wrong for me to ask my father for more than what he's already given? Is it greedy of me to ask for another blessing? He's already given this blessing. Is it greedy of me to ask for another blessing? Is he going to think poorly of me if I ask for something in addition to what he's already given me? Or should I just settle for the Southland? Should I just settle for the Southland? Does this sound familiar? Have you ever wrestled with these kinds of questions with your father? You see, we've all been given a Southland by our father. We've all been given a situation in life. We've all been given a task in life. We've all been given a place to live and a purpose. If we've trusted in the Lord Jesus, we've all been given that salvation, that promise of a future hope in heaven, the presence of the Holy Spirit to seal us for the day of redemption. We've all been given these bare minimum blessings, we can call them. Not that they're minimum in the sense of there's no value to them, but that they're the common denominator among all those who believe. We've all been given that Southland. But the question we're asking is, are we going to settle in the Southland? You see, the Southland is a dry climate. The adversity of harsh winds and little rain and scorching sun is going to cause things to dry up. And it's going to be very difficult to go out and find sources of water. So are we just going to settle there? Are we just going to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and then the world, the flesh, and the devil are going to dry up our lives, and that's okay because we're into beer. So it's okay. We've been given to beer. Have you ever sensed in your life sometimes a dryness that comes over your soul? When you're praying to the Lord, there's this dryness that the prayers don't have that life that sometimes they do. They're just dry and it seems like nobody's listening anyway. Or sometimes you're reading God's Word and it's like there's nothing coming from it. There's no impact it's making. You don't even want to take the time to read it because what's the point anyway? It's just a dryness there. Has it ever been a struggle to try to live your Christian life where you're trying to obey God in the day-to-day and it's like you have this besetting sin that's like a chain to your ankle and you can't break it, so you figure you might as well settle. Or you're trying to see some change happen in your circumstances and you've given up believing God and His promises in these things because it's dry, it's hard. So we just settle in the Southland. Well, what did Oxa do? Oxa didn't settle. She chose to be brave. She made a decision. She was going to ask. As she approached the scene, she and her husband, they were married. There was a discussion made. She brought this hillside that she had seen outside the city of Debir. She brought it up to Othniel, and Now, I spent way too much time on this, and it didn't end up mattering in the end, but some translations say that she persuaded him, some say that he persuaded her, and the field that they ask for is that field, or then it's the beer. It didn't matter in the end. The point is this, the decision was made, they were going to ask. And Achsa was the one who asked. She knew her father. She knew her father cared about her. She knew her father was willing to meet her needs. Her father was Caleb. He was a tender father. He was a mighty father. He was a compassionate father. He was a strong father. He was a wise father. He was a loving father. She was going to ask. She was, after all, also of the line of Kenaz. So, in the scene, as she is on her donkey, ready to leave, to settle in Debir, it says that she dismounts her donkey. She dismounts her donkey. Her journey of life was going in a direction. She was on the donkey to ease her journey, and she made the decision she would interrupt her path of life to get off that ease and to seek her father. You catch that? And in that day, when you dismount your donkey in the presence of another, it is a sign of humility. It is saying, I'm not going to stay up here above. I'm going to lower myself in your presence because I want to show you I'm humbling myself before you. She dismounted her donkey, a sign of interrupting her path of life to humble herself before her father. And it says that when she approached him, he looked at her. And he said to her, what do you wish? What do you need? What can I do for you? You can hear his heart. You can hear Caleb's heart behind the question. And we're told what she says. Now, if this was going on in most family situations, especially in our day and age, Ox's response would probably be that of what we can call parental manipulation. Ox may have approached her father and said something to the effect of, Daddy, I love you, Daddy. Did you just conquer Hebron? Wow, nobody could have done that except for you. Oh, thou great and mighty father of mine. I'm going out with some friends tonight. Can I have your credit card? What was Ox's attitude when she approached her father? It says in verse 19, she answered, give me a blessing. She didn't beat her on the bush. She was direct. She made her request known. And when I read that, I thought to myself, Othniel, I hope you realize what you're getting into here. This is a bold woman of faith. Be ready. She said, give me a blessing. And Caleb, when he heard that, started thinking to himself. She said, give me a blessing, since you have given me land in the south. You have given us Debir. Give me also springs of water. And we're told Caleb looked at her. Maybe he thought about it for a while. You know, Debir is in the southland, and it is a difficult land to cultivate, and there is that field that they're making mention of. And it says that he gives her the upper springs and the lower springs. She didn't settle for bare minimum blessings. She didn't settle for that bare minimum of what she was given. She knew that if she did, it was going to be difficult, it was going to be dry, she was going to struggle. So she made her request known to her father. Now the question is again, if you and I are experiencing in our Christian life that southland wind and adversity of the world and the flesh and the devil fighting against us to dry us up, the question we have to come to grips with is, are we going to settle there? Or are we going to go to our Heavenly Father and ask Him for more? More resources. And if we're going to follow in the footsteps of Oscar, we would be blessed to ask for springs of water. We'll talk about what these springs of water can be to us, but look at how Oxa approached it. Look at how she received that blessing. In the first place, like we mentioned, she dismounted her donkey. She was in her course of life, and she put a stop to it to temporarily get off of her donkey and to come to her Heavenly Father. So in the first place, if you and I are going to receive that blessing from God, that nourishment that we need to say stop at some point in some place in our life. We're on this schedule, we're on this direction, we have this path we're going on, we have the donkey as a pleasure to aid us in the process, we need to take a moment to stop and get off that aid, get off that moment, and deliberately and intentionally come before our Father. It has to be deliberate and intentional and with purpose. There has to be a time we set aside, whether it's morning, evening, whenever God can provide it, that we're willing to stop our daily lives to seek our Father's presence. In the second place, she also humbled herself before her Father by doing so. And if we are going to receive that blessing from God, that additional blessing, then we need to humble ourselves before God. There cannot be one brick of pride that we have built up in the way of opening our heart, opening our lives, coming before God as we are, with all of our struggles, with all of our doubts, with all of our fears, with all of our insecurities, coming before our Father and opening ourselves to Him, humbling, confessing our sin, seeking His Holy Spirit's light to show us where we need to repent, where we need to turn, opening ourselves to Him and saying, I'm coming to you in humility. I'm not going to come on my high horse in some show of religiosity. I'm going to come with the deepness of my heart and the deepness of my soul with this request. It reminds me of that verse in Isaiah that says, thus says the high and lofty one who lives forever, whose name is holy. He says, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is lowly and contrite in spirit, to revive the heart of the contrite, to revive the spirit of the lowly. Like Oxa, we can humble ourselves before God, admitting that there is this need in our life, there's this dryness in our life, there's this difficulty, there's this situation that we need help with, we need resources. We're blessed with Debir. Amen. We've been given a place. But there's this dryness going on because we're still here. We have the flesh and we have the trials and we have the tribulations. And there's this relationship with God that we have where we can come to Him. So she dismounts her donkey to interrupt her life, to humble herself before the Father. And then it says this, she answered, give me a blessing. She was direct. And she was open and she was honest with her Father what she wanted. She wanted a blessing from His hand. She did not have to put on a cloak to manipulate her Father. She came directly. And you and I, in those dry moments and seasons of our lives, come before our Father openly, honestly, and we come with a request to bring to Him. He knows it before we ask, but He wants to hear it from the lips of His children. He wants to know that this is a struggle that we have, this is a difficulty we're going through, this is a thing that we want, that we believe is according to His will, so we're going to ask for it. Sometimes we think to ourselves, I don't have the time to pray, but have we ever come to the place where maybe because our prayers, we add a lot of fluff because we think it's going to impress God? Whereas maybe we just need to come to Him and just be who we are, open up our hearts and make known to Him what we need, what we want. We can have that time of adoration and praise. I'm not downplaying that. Where we say, You are a great Father, You are a great God, I love You, You're majestic, You're wonderful, that's all good. We need that adoration. But we also need to be just forthright with Him. We need to just be open and direct to our Father saying, God, I have this need. I have this request. Give me a blessing. It's like I come home from work, the first thing Finney wants, he wants me to spin the fan in the ceiling. I mean, you know, you expect in your mind, you come home and there's this time of, oh, Daddy, I love you, and I hold your legs, and it's just one of that cuddle time. I walk in the door and he goes, ooh. And he points to the ceiling fan because he wants me to take my hand and spin it, and he's just fascinated by it. And you know what? I love that. Because He knows He can come to me and He asks for that. And our Heavenly Father loves to hear it when His children come to Him and say, Daddy, I need help. Give me a blessing. She says, give me a blessing. She says, since You have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water. She's saying, based on the fact that You are willing to bless me with this territory of land that I can live, based on the fact of Your grace and Your provision to me, on that basis, I'm going to ask You for this additional blessing. And the same with you and I, when we are going to ask our Father for something, we can base it on the fact that we've already received blessings from His hand. We have received our salvation through Jesus Christ as a gift. We have received the hope of heaven. We've received the Holy Spirit. We've received those Southland blessings. And it is on the basis of that grace that God has given us that we can turn to Him and ask for the springs. Because Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. She said, you've given me land in the south. Give me springs of water. What are these springs of water? They are the resources from her Father to nourish her south land, to make life abundant. They are the resources from her Father given to her south land that can make her life abundant. Brothers and sisters, our Father has given us these blessings of the Southland. But if we stay there and settle for that, we're going to experience that dryness from time to time. We can come to Him and ask for that blessing of the springs of water. We can ask Him for the resource to fill the cracks of that dryness of our soul and bless us. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I think to myself of how Jesus often used this depiction of life-giving water when He's talking to the people, and the people are questioning who He is, asking about Him. He says in John chapter 7, He says this, He who believes in me, in verse 38, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He talks to the woman of the well that we sang about in that song, Fill My Cup. He says that if anybody believes in me, he shall never thirst. The one who drinks of the regular water of the well, they will thirst again. But the one who believes in me shall never thirst, that life-giving water. He has resources. He has fountains. The Bible says in Psalm that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The Bible says in Psalm 1 that if we delight in God's Word as a resource that He can bring by faith, asking our Father, that it says that we shall be like a tree planted by streams of living water. And we will not wither, but we will flourish. Everything we do will prosper, it says, because we have those resources. It's like if you take a plant and you don't water it, what's going to happen? It's going to wither, it's going to brown, it's going to dry. But you go and you take your watering can and you add the water to it, and all of a sudden it's blooming again and flourishing and vibrant. Yes, we believe in Jesus. He's planted us in the soil. But as we walk this Christian life, we can ask Him for resources to gain us a flourishing life. But have we asked, what are these springs? He says to Achsa, He says, I'm going to give you the upper springs and the lower springs. She saw the field when she came to Debir. In fact, in 1960s, they uncovered Debir. Praise the Lord for biblical archaeology, by the way. Amen. Because you had, before the 60s, you had the liberal scholars who were saying that Debir is not where it says in the Bible because this reason and that reason. And then some Jewish archaeologist was in the land and he uncovered Debir. And what was outside of Debir? There was a hillside with a cavern that they had a well, and on the other side was a lower region where they had a source of water. They found the upper springs and the lower springs. Sources of water that were from above. Sources of water that were from below. Now, thinking about the upper springs and the lower springs, this, bear with me for a minute, because it's not directly stated. I don't care. There's a principle in the Bible about upper springs and lower springs. What are they? The upper springs we can think of as the blessings that God gives to us when we ask Him from heaven. They're the upper springs. They're the resources and blessings that our Father gives to us from heaven. We can't see them, perhaps. They're not tangible. We can't put our finger and say, this is the thing. But they're given to us from heaven, and they come into our soul and they bless and nourish us. For example, we need help because we don't have that prayer life that we wish we had, or we know we should have, or we once had. Well, we come before our Father. We say, give me a blessing. I need your heavenly springs to fill my soul and fill me with an adoration of who you are. Fill me with a love for who you are. So I just want to talk to you, and I want my prayers to be real with you, and I want answers to prayer to come as I pray to you. I need the upper springs. Or maybe we're struggling, we're in a dark cloud, and we once had that joy of the Lord that was our strength, but we don't have that joy. We can ask God for the fruit of the Spirit, which is of the upper springs from heaven, to come into our hearts and to fill us with that abiding sense of joy that He gives to those who ask. Or perhaps there's a situation in your life that Satan has used to grip you and put a stronghold on you so that you're filled with anxiety and you need the peace of God which surpasses understanding. So you say, Father, I need the upper springs of peace. And He pours it into your life and He gives you that peace from the upper springs. These are the blessings that God gives us that we can't really see. They're not tangible, but they're there and we ask Him for it. And if we don't, life in the Debir in the Southland will be dry. But then there's the lower springs. Not only upper springs from above, but there are the lower springs, which are the blessings that God gives us even in this earth. They are the blessings that God gives us if we ask that are tangible and we can see them and we can put our finger on it and say, that was from God's hand, from the lower springs. He gave it and I needed it. And this is where we struggle as Christians, because you and I have, every Christian has gone through that struggle of, I asked for A and I got B instead. Or I asked for A and I got A, and then I asked for A and I got C. And then I asked for A and I got A. And then I asked for A and I got D. We're all going to go through that struggle. But don't let that struggle tempt you to think, well, I better not ask for A. I better just get my heavenly blessings, and then the rest of the life will just play out the way God's will wants it to play out. No, we come to God with the requests that He wants from us. And so earlier we were having prayer requests, and we were like, you know, there's so much evil in this world. And so can we ask for the lower springs of His blessings to make a tangible change in those circumstances? Is that wrong? It's of the lower springs. Can we ask? Say, have we? Or have we just said there's a need here and it's terrible and we want to pray about it? Or have we actually got off our donkey, humbled ourselves before God and say, God, give me a blessing. You laid so-and-so on my heart. They have this gift and I think that they would be appropriate to fill this slot in the community, that there's a seat there. God, give me the lower springs. Help me to talk to them and make it happen. It's tangible. Or there's a situation in your life where you need a job and you're struggling because you need to make ends meet. And so you come before God and you say, God, the lower springs, I need a job. I need provision. Please come and provide a job. And He opens an opportunity that no other circumstance would have occurred except the hand that He gave you. But open it up. These lower springs are at our disposal that we can ask God for. I'll share just one small example. Back in Rhode Island, before we moved to Wisconsin, Alicia and I were talking about where we'll be when we move, and we had been talking about this tiny house situation. It was just kind of novel to us at the time, and we were watching videos of people living in tiny houses, and it was interesting. We thought to ourselves, maybe that's for something in our future or whatnot. And we move out here, and we're living with Bill and Becky and Benton at the time being, and they were renting at that time, and so we had to find a place fast, and the clock was ticking, and the landlord was getting frustrated, and we needed a place. So when we were praying about the situation, we asked God, provide a place. Father Caleb, a lower spring. And one day I was driving through Livingston, and there was this for sale sign in front of a little house, and I thought that was strange. It was in the middle of a town. And I called the realtor and she told me the price and I said, I'd like to see it. And she came out and we looked at it and it was a tiny house. Maybe not on wheels in the woods, but it was 250 square feet. It's tiny, yeah. No loft. And we bought it. God provided a drink from the lower spring. And you all have had those experiences that you can relate when God supplied your need. Don't be afraid to ask for the lower spring, but trust Him. Trust your Father. The main point is this, brothers and sisters. Are we going to settle in the beer? Aksa didn't. Yeah, she had it made. She had Caleb as her father. She had it made. She had Debir as her inheritance. She had Othniel as her husband. But you know what? She said to her father, give me a blessing. Springs of water. That was something she asked for. And if she did not ask, would it have come? So the final takeaway from this, brothers and sisters, is that these springs are something we ask for. And that's why James says, you do not have because you do not ask. So are we willing to take that time, dismount our donkey, humble ourselves before God? I mean, this is exciting because we have all these prayer requests in this church and we have these future goals with the Lord, and we asked for the springs? Or are we just going to settle? We're in De Beer, we're in the Southland, heaven is our home. That's the takeaway. Aksa had it made, that she asked. Let us not settle for the Southland. Amen? Amen. Father God in heaven, thank you for this story which speaks to our need, which speaks to my need. As I feel like every day I grow dry and I need a fresh drink from the springs of water that you offer. Maybe there's someone here this morning that is experiencing the elements of the Southland. I pray like Aksa that they would not settle. But I pray that they would come to you. Come to you even now. Open their hearts to you. And join a collective prayer here this morning. I pray, Father, we would all pray this. If you're listening to this prayer and you want to pray this with me, I pray that you would open your heart now and pray it with me. Give me a blessing. Give me a blessing. Pray to God. Give me a blessing. Lay that request at His feet. Give me a blessing. Lay that need before Him. Give me a blessing. You've given me the Southland. You've given me De Beers. You've given me salvation. You've given me a life. You've given me everything I need. But I'm asking for those resources that help me thrive. Give me a blessing. Give me springs in the Southland that I may live for you abundantly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.